Take heart, friends. Justice was delivered decisively yesterday by voters across this country. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Historic wins in New York City, Virginia, in New Jersey. Those are the marquee events. In California, in Prop 50, voters turning out on this hyper-technocratic ballot initiative. Do Californians want to respond to Donald Trump's cheating, because apparently their own internal polling told them that he was not doing well, and yesterday's election bore that out. California is turning up in record numbers for what was basically just a ballot referendum, which usually has like infinitesimally small turnout, overwhelmingly by 28 points. This is unheard of. Greenlighting Prop 50. But that is just the top line, ladies and gentlemen. If you look a little bit under the hood, boy, the numbers are incredible. Every single county in Virginia, every single one of them, even the counties in Virginia that went for Republican candidate Mrs. Earl Sears, even counties that went for the MAGA candidate, every single county moved at least 6 points in favor of Democrats. I mean, that is just, that does not happen. The margins here are where the story is. Jamie's going to stick around with me. You two join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Jamie and I are going to dig into some of these lesser known races that I think are clear canaries in the coal mine for the MAGA movement. But let's get some of the callers involved here. Bailey, you've been so patient. Thank you so much. Bailey's from Stephen Point. Say hello to Jamie. Bailey, and what you got for us this afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. Hi, Jamie. Hope you guys are having a wonderful night. I just had a quick comment because, you know, I was kind of blown away by all the gubernatorial races and just how much everything leaned to the left. And the more and more I look at the Trump administration, the more I realize there's so many parallels to fascist Italy and to Mussolini. You know, you have things like Making America Great Again, which is straight out of Mussolini's book, where he says, make Italy great again. Let's make a great Roman Empire. You have things like Trump's little personal army that he has now kind of coinciding with the black shirts in Italy. So I think a lot of people are waking up to these fascist policies and saying, no, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, I think there was a level of disbelief. Thanks so much, Bailey, from Stephen's Point. I think there was a level of disbelief in what Democrats and others were saying leading up to the 2024 election. Yes. I think people were being, you know, their fear was being exploited. I've said this frequently on this program. I generally look at the causal factors of the 2024 fall outcome as being a correct perception of an existential economic problem in our country. And then that was made worse or exploited by Donald Trump saying, well, you know who you should blame for that? Not the billionaires, not me, not people who dodge taxes or don't pay any taxes at all while we tax your wages earned from actual work at a higher level. Don't blame the people that actually have always had the levers of power in government. Blame the people who have never held the levers of power in government. Blame the people who have never held the vast majority of wealth in this country, or even a significant proportion of the wealth in this country. Blame the immigrant, blame the woman, blame the gay person, blame black and brown folks. As a rational concept, that doesn't make any sense. But when people are afraid and you put a clear box around blame these people, our brains want to relieve the fear. And I think that's absolutely part of what happened. And so people didn't want to believe the warnings that were coming from Kamala Harris or Dick Cheney or Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or reams of Republican appointed federal judges that said, this is a problem, or John Brennan or all of these. They just said, I'm afraid. And this guy's telling me he's going to solve the problem. Played on our subconscious biases that have been part of the fabric of our culture here in the United States since its inception.
But don't you think that's been part of, to me, that's been part of the playbook that the GOP has tried to lean on for quite some time? They want to play into those biases. They want to try to divide the country in a way that they feel is going to benefit them. It's a very much us against you mentality that they've tried to play out. And I don't see it.
But the trick, Jamie, I'll just say this, is that they convinced people, meaning yes. the MAGA movement and the billionaires that were funding the MAGA movement and the oil industry and big pharma and right.
Mm-hmm.
They convinced regular folks that the billionaire and mega corporation yeah. class, that regular people are part of the billionaire class or the trust fund baby class, and that yeah. having mega corporations pay less tax was somehow in their interest. It was the definition of us and them
yeah.
that made yeah. that possible. And I think people are looking around going, oh yeah, he said he cared about me, but look, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful realization. You wonder how far the thread will get pulled. And again, what it means in the upper Midwest for midterms and our upcoming gubernatorial elections.
I think for a lot of people, too, in 2024, and I try not to generalize, but I think for a lot of people, the first version of Trump's presidency was something. Let's just put it like that, right? And a lot of the things that he and his administration set out to do ended up falling flat because they didn't understand the rules. They weren't able to move things forward because the administration just was not as inept as they are now. The second version, I think, is a lot different. He went out and mm-hmm. got the Russell votes of the world. He has Steve Miller as his right-hand man. He has Bessent. He has the people who actually, even if you don't agree with them, let's be realistic, they have a firmer grasp on how this stuff can just get plowed through versus what the first administration did.
And well, so, I mean, what you're saying is, I think what has been observed writ large, and that is there were people in his first administration yeah. that were guardrails and said, you can't do yes. that. And there's no one around
nobody
anymore. So again, I raised this question earlier on the show today, and that is for good faith conservatives and all of the things that conservatism used to stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you too feel betrayed because of the overreach and the cruelty and the casualness of throwing away as disposable tens of millions of working class Americans? He has betrayed traditional conservatism.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about that. And I talked, if you missed a little earlier in the show, I have tried and true John McCain type conservative friends who were out campaigning and organizing and helping volunteer for Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. And there was a true party amongst those people last night because of the fact that they put in this work and they saw somebody, even though the political party, the D, the R, doesn't necessarily line up with who they are or what their party stands for, the values are the same. And that was that I think is what people can align on. I mean, I feel like we might be getting to a point where, I've always been proud of being able to register my registration for voting and all of that. But I feel like there is a point in time where sometimes I'm like, yeah, independents kind of have it right, you know? And mm-hmm. That's not something that I would have said at one point in time. Nothing against independents. I love, you know,
I'd push back on that just to say this, right? Like I have always identified myself as sort of a radical pragmatist. Right?
Sure.
And at the same time, a Democrat, and especially where the entire political spectrum has been mm-hmm. shoved so far right, if it makes me, quote, left to say, I don't believe that masked groups of roving mobs should be able to pluck citizens and non-citizens alike without determination of probable cause and throw them, I don't know where, send them to a third. If that makes me, quote, left,
yeah,
then I guess, you know, in pieces and parts, when we start talking about economic policy and the failure of absolutely the MAGA movement, but to a lesser extent, Democrats, mm-hmm. but yet still Democrats failing to accurately define where we need to go to make this economy work again for middle class and working people and dentists and small business owners and lawyers and everybody, the 90% of us. To me, that's where some of the, is it independent? Is it centrism? What are we defining? But whether people are independent or centrist or left, we can all say this approach is not working. Let's go to the phones. Want to get a few more in. Michelle from Milwaukee. Say hello to Jamie. Thank you for joining us. What you got this afternoon?
Well, hello, you guys. I just wanted to say, you know, when Trump said today that the Democrats had their great wins because he wasn't on the ballot, I'm sorry, but he was on the ballot. And that's why the margins were what they were. I believe if he was actually on the ballot, the margins would have been even higher for the Democratic win. Yeah. So, Maggie, if I can go off topic for just a minute, I know you don't like that, but I just want to talk to everyone who is listening right now. Maggie Dawn doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She personally helped me with some personal things on her own time. And it just made me believe in mankind a little bit more. I called a couple of days ago with my story, and Maggie took interest. And whether you believe in her politics or you agree or disagree with what she says, Maggie Dawn is a good person who stands behind what she says. And Maggie, I just want to say to you, thank you very, very much.
I didn't even realize that was Michelle. Thank you. You are welcome, Michelle. I didn't realize that was you. Thank you for sharing. You didn't need to do that. I let's just take this moment to say this to everybody out there. There is something that each and every one of us can do every single day to make other people's lives better, whether it's connecting Michelle with resources to help her feel confident that she's going to have the food that she needs, or whether it's letting somebody go first in a grocery line or helping someone or whatever it is. I think, again, the mandate to Democrats was not specifically about a partisan mandate. I'm going to call that a kindness mandate. I'm going to call that a respectfulness mandate. I'm going to call that a call to community sort of mandate, that it is not us and them. It is all of us. Michelle matters just like you matter. We all matter. And we're not going to leave anybody behind in this country. If we are truly the greatest democracy that history has ever seen, then let's freaking act like it. Let's show up for one another, and let's demand that our elected officials are showing up for all of us, not just those who happen to punch the ballot for them. We're going to take a breath. We're going to go back to the phones. 855-752-4842. God bless you, Michelle. You matter. We all matter. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.